bridging the gap between law enforcement and drivers who are dealing with a disability or on the autism spectrum. That is the focus for Linked Autism Safety Project. And they were just highlighted recently because Waterbury Police started getting training on interacting with people with autism. And when I saw this name pop up, I personally wanted to know more about the work that they're doing and to get the information out there to other municipalities if they have not heard of them before. Joining us now is Ashley McLean. Ashley, welcome to WICC. And first, talk to us, if you can, about what made you want to create this organization.
Good morning, Melissa. Thank you so much for having me. This was a personal, I guess, project, if you will, for myself. Truthfully, it was, unknowing that I was creating a whole program. I have a son that is on the spectrum. And just about a year and a half ago, I had reached out to our local police department here in North Brantford and wanted to let them know that my son communicated differently, acted differently because of his diagnosis. And through our conversations, we ultimately put resources and supports together for the police department in our community. And then from there, the program really started growing. And over the last year, we, initially started in North Brantford, launched in about 30 municipalities here in the state of Connecticut, and have officially gone national over the last couple months.
Really? How long has your how long has it been around?
So officially since June of 2023, so not too long.
No, it's still very wow, and it's made that much of an impact. Congratulations! I mean, I think that's wonderful.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
And this is something my audience knows. It's very near and dear to my heart because I have my younger brother is on the spectrum. He's high functioning, and he now drives, and he's doing well where he is. But this is certainly something that growing up with somebody on the spectrum and seeing his peers and other people who also either had disabilities or were nonverbal, just to name some of the things that they were dealing with. I know over the years of being a reporter, I've spoken many times to police officers about bridging that gap. Could you, talk to people, Ashley, about what is sort of the issue at hand? If you don't have groups like yourself sort of getting the training out there, what can happen? What could go wrong if police, first responders, if they don't know the operator in that car is on the spectrum?
There are so many things that can go wrong for the first responders, but then also for the individuals as well. And for me, I'll call it just a unique interaction that we had with law enforcement that kind of led me to start thinking about conversations that needed to be had. And I'll be the first to admit, I didn't understand autism until I had to understand autism. So if you're not living it every single day, you don't know really what can happen and what can transpire for these individuals, and then with interactions with these individuals as well too. And truthfully, it's a lack of education for both communities, if you will. We have a responsibility within the special needs community to kind of understand the work and the needs that need to be had of the first responder community. And at the same time, they need to understand our community a little bit better as well, too. So, my number one thing is safety is of the utmost importance for the individuals and for the first responders. So being able to provide that education, that awareness, and that understanding to one another can hopefully bring everyone home safe at night if there were an interaction that were to occur.
Mm-hmm. And again, Ashley McLean is here, director of the Linked Autism Safety Project. Ashley, is your organization tied to the blue envelopes? Is that part of the work that you're doing?
So we have incorporated the blue envelope in the work that we are doing. That was not something that we created. That was created in January of 2020 by the Connecticut Police Chiefs Association in partner with the Connecticut Department of Motor Vehicle. However, we've done a lot of work. We've worked with the Connecticut Police Chiefs Association to provide awareness in regards to this envelope. So one of the things that we do is we provide family emergency planning packets to families of individuals that need some additional supports. And the blue envelope is enclosed within that family emergency planning packet. Another piece of what we do is bringing awareness to the first responders and talking about what this blue envelope signifies, what they should be looking for if someone hands them that blue envelope, so that they know, you know, it's not just a blue envelope and somebody has a diagnosis because they're handing it to you, but what does that mean and what will that interaction look like because of that blue envelope? And then we also are bringing awareness to parents because it is extremely important to know that not only the driver should have the envelope in their car if they have a diagnosis, but if someone is in the car that's a passenger. For instance, my son is 7. He's not driving anytime soon, but we do have a blue envelope in our car to at least bring awareness to the first responders that might be interacting with us, to make them know that somebody in the car has a difference. Somebody in the car has a diagnosis. And that's important to know because when they're approaching our car, whether it be a firefighter, a paramedic, a police officer, they're assessing the entire situation. So we want to make sure that they have the awareness and they know what that envelope stands for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a really great point. And you know, and God forbid if the driver is incapacitated when
exactly.
somebody approaches, or, you know, even just the idea of if you see it, you know, like I have a son who's not on the spectrum, but he has kind of some sensory issues that very, very loud noises or kind of is very jumpy. Like if you suddenly were to approach him, you know, hey, it really mm-hmm. derails him. And so, you know, just even having that when you're approaching the vehicle, even if they are not the driver, it's so important to just have that signify, you know, hey, you're approaching a car where somebody in that car, you know, has special needs and that needs to be taken into account. There are some other things that are available to people through Linked Autism Safety Project. And I want to run through those a little bit more and give more information to people, especially municipalities, if they have not signed on to working with you yet. We have Ashley McLean here, and we're talking about Linked Autism Safety Project. We'll give you the link and everything when we finish up the interview. But Ashley, a couple things. We were just starting to talk about some of the things that you do. You had mentioned that you have family emergency planning packets. You also have first responder training, which was, I came across your name when there was recent training done at Waterbury for Waterbury's police department. So that's really neat. And you said that you've already worked with how many police departments?
We're in approximately 30 police departments here in the state of Connecticut, and we've also launched in the state of Illinois and working with a number of different police departments in New Hampshire, Massachusetts, New York, and as far as Texas and California as well.
That's incredible. And I mean, this probably sounds like a silly question, but does it cost anything to have your training done?
It does not. That we have not charged for any of our trainings thus far. It's been extremely important for me to get the message out there to the first responders and the municipalities.
It's such a no-brainer. That's what I'm getting at. It's such a no-brainer. And, you know, and look, I don't know when this statistic will change. I imagine it will. But when you look at the most recent CDC report that about 1 in 36 children in the U.S. are considered to have to be part of the autism spectrum disorder population, this is very pertinent. And as you mentioned so well before, Ashley, it doesn't have to be the driver. It's anybody who is consistently in that car that these interactions need to be done as smoothly as they possibly can. And so it's to me, it's essential that every police department knows what to do. They would feel better equipped, certainly. And certainly the people on the roads would feel better being approached by police if they know that this training is under their belt. Another thing I noticed on your website, though, you have sensory bags. This is kind of cool.
We do. So we have sensory bags that we provide to municipalities, and the intention is that they go in the police cruisers, the fire trucks, the ambulances, and there's an array of different things in the sensory bags. We have various communication tools from picture exchange communication cards to dry erase boards for those individuals that might be non-speaking or for someone that is just nervous in a situation where they might be interacting with a first responder. You know, I always say it's not a normal situation when there's a first responder involved with these individuals. So giving them tools that they know that they can navigate communication and understanding and building a rapport with the first responders. We have noise-canceling headphones. We have light sensitivity glasses. We have a full body sock for individuals to feel comfortable and kind of decompress if they're feeling a little bit of anxiety. We have fidget toys, poppets, fidget spinners, all the fun things to play with. And I always say, yes, they may look like, you know, a bunch of toys for an individual to play with. However, they're really more anxiety reduction tools to allow an individual to feel calm in a high stress situation when they might be overstimulated, overwhelmed, or scared.
Yeah, you know, to me, again, it's a no-brainer. I think mm-hmm. it even expands beyond just people who are, you know, have autism. Or who have 100%. A disability, you know, when I hear some of the things that are mentioned in this sensory bag, this could be for the everyday person. I mean, I know for myself, when I'm approached by police, there's that feeling of anxiety, or I don't know if I'm going to react responsibly, even if it's something that I didn't do anything wrong. It's just like a check or whatever the case may be. Just that feeling of your heart skips a beat. I think the average person feels that. And I don't know why a police officer wouldn't want to equip their car with this if they feel, you know, that emotional stress or anxiety coming on, and they want to have the best sort of interaction with whoever they're approaching. They'd want to have this. So I think this is a no-brainer for police to have something like a sensory bag on them. Is there a way, Ashley, for people to have that in their own vehicles if they were to be approached by police to have this already equipped? Like, it reminds me a lot of like a calming corner. So I have kind of a bag of stuff that I bring that is in my son's calming corner. If we go to restaurants or if we go, you know, to a hockey game or somewhere where there's loud noises, things like that, a lot of the things in your sensory bag I also bring with me as sort of like his calming corner on the move. Is there a way families could request a sensory bag, or is that strictly for police?
No, absolutely. If someone is interested, they can certainly reach out to us. They can email me. They can, you know, send an inquiry on our website. We have had people do that. We've had social workers from various departments within the state of Connecticut that travel around the state in cars ask me if they can have them as well, too. We just had somebody reach out to me last week. So it's easily doable. We're actually now in the process of even talking with some school districts and some hospitals as well to equip them with sensory bags as well.
Amazing. It's, again, to me, no brainer. That's the best way I could put it. And I think your organization is exactly that. And Ashley, I want to personally thank you for creating this and going beyond just, you know, what does my child need or what am I noticing? But let me do this for other people who could be impacted by this. And what extraordinary work you've already gotten done since starting this in 2023. It really is amazing. And we're so proud to highlight you here on WICC. If people want more information, what is your website?
So our website is www.linkedasp.com. And people can also email me at Ashley, A-S-H-L-E-Y, at LINKEDASP.com.
All right. And we're going to put all that information as well on our website, voiceofct.com. Ashley McLean, thank you so much for sharing all of this here on the show. And we look forward to having you on again in the future.
Thanks for having me. I look forward to it. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome. And again, we'll have that website and contact information on our website, voiceofct.com, at the end of the show.